In last section, we finished Romans chapter 5. Now we're going to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 5 talk about the result of justification by faith. We reconcile ourselves with God. We rejoice in the Lord, and God's love manifested in Jesus' crucifixion. And then little part of chapter 5 talk about two Adam influence our life the most, even far more and greater and deeper than our parents. The first Adam, sin enters the world. The second Adam, the righteousness of God become available. So the second Adam will exercise far more greater influence than the first Adam. So we were able to avoid all the bad consequences of the first Adam. Now, we're going to chapter 6. I'm not going to go verse by verse. I'll just like the first six section. That is a TTP way. In TTP way, Roman, we have a four unit, each unit 4 days. So totally 64 hours. So we have only 12 hours. So we can only highlight the main point of each section. Chapter 6, we can divide into two parts. Now we look into teaching material. B, the page A3B, sanctification. How can we be sanctified? We sanctify in two ways. The first way, water baptism. Water baptism can also say justification. In the time of water baptism, we are justified. We are considered a sinless person. And the second is Holy Spirit. So chapter 6 is talk about baptism. Chapter 7, from verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 17, talk about Holy Spirit. So the function of water baptism plus the function of the Holy Spirit, we not only can be justified, we also can be sanctified. And then our salvation can be secured. So chapter 6 plus chapter 7, verse 1 to chapter 8, verse 17, is to fulfill John chapter 3, verse 5. What's that? John chapter 3, verse 5. Hey, brother. John chapter 3, verse 5. What's that? Hey, don't open the Bible. Can you remember? John chapter 3, verse 5. If you don't open the Bible, you know what that say? Truly, truly, I say to you, right? And what is next? Unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So there are two prerequisites to enter the kingdom of God, to be born of water and to be born of spirit. And that exactly what Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 is talking about. So these two chapters add up is to fulfill the teaching of John chapter 3, verse 5. Now, Romans chapter 6, from verse 1 to 23, it talk about the baptism, the meaning and effect of water baptism, and after the water baptism, what kind of new life we should live. What is the meaning of the water baptism? Chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death. Baptized into Christ, which means through the baptism, we have part with Christ, means baptized into Christ. Without baptism, we have no part with Christ. So baptism is the crucial point whether we have part with Christ. So if we look into the Christianity, how do they proclaim? They use the verse of Romans chapter 10, verse 10, right? Can anybody recite Romans chapter 10, verse 10? Who can be saved? Believe in your heart, confess in your mouth, right? I believe Jesus is my Savior. I confess in my mouth, right? I'm a sinner. I accept Jesus, and you are saved. All right. If we just use that verse as the only evidence of salvation, then we oversimplify it, right? Believe and confess, right? Is the beginning of the journey of faith. It's the beginning of the journey of salvation. Just like, how do you go to San Francisco? Right? How do you go to San Francisco? You drive to Freeway 5, then you can go to San Francisco, right? But when you drive to Freeway 5, it doesn't mean you already reached San Francisco. It takes another 7 hours. Also, I believe in my heart, Jesus Christ, and I confess Jesus is my Savior, that is the beginning of journey of faith. Then after Romans chapter 10, verse 10, what should I do? And you go back to Romans chapter 6, baptized into Christ. So no wonder Jesus said, believe and baptism. And what? Mark chapter 16, believe and baptize. Then what's that? What will be next? Look, Mark 16, Mark 16, verse 16, anybody read aloud? Hey, brother, read aloud, you look strong, right? You read aloud, everybody can listen, huh? Okay, he who believe and baptize will be saved. How come the Jesus Christ didn't say he who believe can be saved, and say he who believe and baptize, add the baptize can be saved? And the explanation is Romans chapter 6. Believe, but you have to be baptized so you can baptize into Christ. Let's come back to Romans chapter 6, verse 3. What does it mean, baptized into Christ? Baptized into Christ, or baptized into his death. So the second sentence is trying to explain the first sentence. Baptized into Christ means baptized into his death. Where did Jesus die? Jesus did not die in hospital, right? Jesus did not die in his own home. Jesus died on cross. And when Jesus died, there was seven utterance. What was the last utterance? The last words spoken by Jesus. What was that? Finish, right? What does finish mean? My life finished, right? No, salvation had been accomplished. Finish and give up. Bow down the head and give up his life. So when Jesus was died on the cross, he shed the blood. The Roman soldier used a spear, pierced into the side of Jesus, it flew out what? Water and blood. Can you imagine? If you cut your finger, do you see the water come out? No, only blood, right? And how come the spear pierced into the side of Jesus, water and blood? Because that is a fountain for the remission of sin, and that fountain represents water baptism. So baptized into Christ means baptized into his death, and baptized into his death means baptized into his blood. Because in his death, he shed the blood. And blood is a fountain, is the way for the forgiveness of sin. So Hebrews chapter 11 say, all sin can be forgiven only by shedding the blood. All right? And shedding the blood of a righteous person. So we baptize people. Yes, you baptize in water, but also you baptize into the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's called baptized into his death, baptized into his blood. So we belong to him. And there will be next question. How come the blood of Jesus Christ available? That become the basic doctrine, right? Because we follow the teaching of Jesus, so we do the baptism according to the truth. And then there is the witness of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit in the presence of baptism, right? So the word of Jesus plus the Holy Spirit. So the blood of Jesus Christ will be appear in the water baptism. So in TJC all over the world, we witness that the baptism has been blessed by God with three wonders and signs. The first one, the baptism, a lot of people witness the blood of Jesus Christ. I will ask you, anybody here ever witness the blood of Jesus Christ during the time of baptism? Raise your hand. Nobody. I know a reason. Do you know why? Because most of you are baptized when you are infant. So you do not see blood of Jesus Christ, right? You don't know how to identify. Right? We as a minister, we sometimes baptize people. And after the member get up, I saw the blood of Jesus Christ. Until right now, I never even see the blood of Jesus Christ. So somebody can see it. Somebody cannot see it. Why? Why? There's a blood of Jesus Christ. How come somebody can see it? Somebody cannot see it. If that is a material blood, everybody, you have eye, you open eye, you can see it. But sin is something spiritual. So the material water cannot wash away our sin. So the blood of Jesus Christ spiritually appears in the water. So we baptize in water, yes, but we baptize in the blood of Jesus Christ. So if God opened our eye, you can see heaven. If God opened your eye, you can see angel. If God opened your eye, you can see hell. If God opened your eye, you can see the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, so this is the testimony happened quite often in TJC. The second, especially in Africa, right after the baptism, your head come out of the water, a lot of people receive Holy Spirit, filled by the Holy Spirit, and the whole body shaken. And we need to use the two brothers to carry out to the shore, and they kneel down and pray sometimes 5 minutes, 10 minutes. That fulfill Acts chapter 2, verse 38. For the forgiveness of sin, you receive baptism, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. And this is a promise. And the third one is after the baptism, sickness was cured. Because some of the sickness come from sin. The baptism removed the sin, so sickness has been cured. Romans chapter 6 says, baptism baptized into Jesus Christ, into his death, means into his blood. And Now we look into chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we were buried with him through the baptism into death, that just Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So we also should walk in a new life. Now, we look into most of the Christianity baptism. A lot of them, they baptize way as convenient as possible. Oh, the most common way is what? Sprinkle the water. Oh, right. And then there are some other way. There are two flags and write down water, blood, Holy Spirit, and you go through there and you are baptized. I read the article talk about in Philippines, one of very famous TV evangelists do the open crusade. Anyone won't be saved, raise your hand. Wow, a lot of people raise their hand. Then how to baptize that group of people? So they call the fire department, right? And the fire truck come and spray the water. Everybody get wet. Today you are saved. All right, that's another way. But according to the Bible, baptism is full immersion. We are a sinful body, right? A sinful person, we fully immerse ourselves into the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away our sin. So most of the Christians, if they perform baptism in the water, most of them facing upwards, almost 90% of them. If you ask them, where do you facing upwards? He say, because we bury our older person together with Jesus. When you bury, do you see people bury? Is facing downwards or facing upward? Have you ever seen the people bury facing downwards? Raise your hand. Nobody, right? We're all facing upward, right? So that's the way. But our interpretation is different. Baptism is to die together with Jesus, bury together with Jesus. So after we come out with the water, we resurrected with Jesus. How did Jesus die? The Bible already mentioned, right? John, he gave up his breath and bowed down the head. So this is the way Jesus died, bow down the head. And also bow down the head represents what? Humility. I'm a sinner. That's a prayer of tax collector. Then how about full immersion? The full immersion represents burial. We full immerge, I bury my older self into the blood of Jesus Christ. So head bow to die with Jesus, full immersion, buried together with Jesus, and then we come out of water, we resurrect with Jesus. Our sin being removed. We reconnect with God. We become the Prince of God. And heaven is open for us. So that is Romans chapter 6, talk about the water baptism. Then you look into the teaching material, meaning and effect of the baptism. Baptized into Christ, into his death. To be united in the likeness of Jesus' death and in the likeness of his resurrection. So baptism is so important. So in the time of baptism, we are purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So our church interpretation of is quite unique in the time of water baptism. So believe and repent is only preparation in the time of water baptism. The blood of Jesus Christ cover our sin. Then we are justified. Now, dead to sin and alive to God. So after the baptism, all our past sin already been dead, been forgiven. So we have a new status. Now, we look into chapter 6, verse 13 to 23, the newness of life. After the baptism, now we continue to talk about sin. According to the Bible, the sin we committed previously in the baptism will be all washed away. But, the baptism cannot remove our sinful nature. So, I always feel jealous about others. Then I receive water baptism. Is that jealousy gone? Not necessary, right? I cannot get along with my sibling very well. Is that after the water baptism? Is that hatred can be removed? Not necessary. So the past sin can be removed, can be washed away, but the sinful nature remained. Because the sinful nature is accompanied to your physical body. As long as you have physical body, you have sinful nature. So after the water baptism, how are we going to deal with sinful nature? And that is what from verse 12, chapter 6, verse 12, all the way to verse 23 is talking about. How to deal with the sinful nature once your sin, your past sin, all been washed away. Now, we look into verse 12. Chapter 6, verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. What does reign mean? Reign means control. Do not let sin control in your mortal body. Actually, sinful nature, control your mortal body. That you would obey it in its lust. So the sinful nature controls us through the lust. Now, verse 13. And do not present your member as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present your God, themselves to God as being alive from dead, and your member as an instrument of righteousness to God. So after we read the whole passage, for sin shall not be have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under the grace. So what does that mean? You look into teaching material. After the water baptism, we have to make a choice. Two kind of slave. We human beings, you have no choice. Either you become the slave of God, or you become the slave of sin. Because sin has power to control us. So if we don't make up our mind to rely on God to get rid of the control of sin, just like computer, by default, we are under the control of sin, sinful nature. So our whole life, definitely, we become two kinds of slave. Either the slave of God or the slave of sin. This is the first point. And then from verse 12, if we read verse 23, you can see tangible and intangible. Sinful nature is intangible, but your member of your body is tangible, right? Your hand, your ear, your mouth, your eyes, these are some tangible. So what is the relationship? The reason we use a member to commit sin is because something intangible inside us controls us, and that's either sinful nature or God himself. If we are controlled by God himself, we use our member to serve God. If we are controlled by sinful nature, we use our member to serve our master, serve sin. So what does that mean? What does that mean? When your hand go to gamble, what's wrong? What's wrong? Your hand has something wrong? When your hand go to gamble, what's wrong? I cut off the hand, right? No. When your hand go to gamble, that's because your heart, right? Sin inside your heart. So sin control you. So you use a hand to gamble. When I was in high school, one day I go to church. That was in Taiwan. I'm passing a bridge. How come so many people surrounding the bridge? And there was a person who put a chopping board, you know the chopping board, right? Oh, chopping board and a huge knife, and put the hand on top of the chopping board, say, today I'm not going to let you go, I'm going to chop it off. Why? Because the person gamble. Probably lose all the house. Now, if you are there, what will you do? Right? Most of people will say, oh, don't chop off your hand, right? But I look at that, some people keep on shouting, chop it off, all right? And after a period of time, that person dare not to chop it off. I bring the chopping board and knife and go. Oh, right? The reason we gamble is because sin inside controls us. The reason we speak the bad words is sin inside controls us. The reason you see the pornography is sin inside us controls it, right? So we have to make a choice, either become the slave of sin or become the slave of righteousness. Now, and then after the baptism, you have to make a choice. If we don't make a choice, by default, sin will control us. And what is the consequence if sin control us? That's, chapter 6. Verse 22. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin, which means in the time of water baptism, having become the slave of God, you have your fruit of holiness. Right? If we decide to become the slave of God, it all depends on what is the master, right? If the master is God, being slave is good. It's a blessing. And then the end is everlasting life. Verse 23. For the wage of the sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to Christ, Jesus our Lord. So even a person received the water baptism, all our past sin been forgiven. If I still choose to let sin control me. I live a sinful life pattern. I use the member of the body to serve sin, the master. And what is the end? The wage of sin is death. Still, we will lose eternal life. So, the book of Revelation chapter 21 talk about the second coming of Jesus. It's just like a bride waiting for the bridegroom, right? And chapter 22 talk about some of the people being cast into the fire or lake, which is meant the hell. Adulterer, sorcerer, murderer, a lot of that kind of sins. It's not necessary talking about those who never receive salvation. Because those who never receive salvation, by default, they belong to hell. Now, a lot of them actually are baptized members. When they receive the baptism, they continue in a sinful life pattern, a murderer, sorcerer, worship the idol, and then they will lose eternal life. So, after we receive baptism, we are the prince of God. We have a hope to go to eternal heaven, but if we let sin control us, eventually we still die. So we have to make effort, rely on Holy Spirit to get rid of the control of sinful nature, and then we can live a righteous life. And that's, we go into chapter 7. How does the Holy Spirit help us? That is chapter 7. Before we go to chapter 7, let's turn to, chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1 to verse 17. It's talk about Holy Spirit. Now, we're talking into teaching material. Christians are delivered from the law, serve the Lord with newness. What does that mean? After we receive the baptism, law cannot judge us. Law cannot condemn us. Why? Because we are justified already. Our sin are already been forgiven already. So the law cannot apply to us, right? Previously, we may commit adultery. Previously, we may murder. But the time I received baptism, all this been forgiven. So we cannot use the law to judge my previous sin anymore because I'm justified already. So here you say example about marriage. And I think it's good for us to know both of the teaching. About the marriage, that's chapter 7, verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. For the woman has a husband, is bound by the law to her husband, as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, and he is released from the law of her husband. So this is the law according to God, the marriage. Marriage will last until the other party dies. So if the husband still alive and the wife go out and remarry, and according to the law, is commit adultery. But if the husband dies and the woman is free to remarry, so this is a biblical preaching, biblical teaching. So even nowadays, you use the law of a country, right? After you separate about 6 months, then divorce become automatically effective. And you go through the court, you finish all the divorce procedure, but in the eyes of God, you're still husband and wife. A person can remarry not because I already finished the procedure of divorce in the court, in the worldly system. No. In the eyes of God, still husband and wife. Only two possibilities. One is spouse pass away. You are free to get married. Another one is spouse commit adultery. Right? Spouse commit adultery. A person can divorce, but it's not encouraged. You can do it, but it's not encouraged. So what does this marital law apply to salvation? Now we look into verse 4. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, because we baptize into Christ. We baptize into his blood, so our sins are all forgiven, so the law cannot judge us. That's called dead to the law. Now, dead has no function. Law has no function to us. That's dead to the law. And since law cannot judge us, we are dead to the law, then we can remarry, be married to another, and to him who was raised from dead, now, which means we belong to Jesus Christ. So verse 6. By now, we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now, this is chapter 7, verse 1 to chapter 6. Christians are delivered from the law and serve the Lord with newness. Not according to the law, but the spiritual attitude. Now, chapter 7, verse 7 to 13. Chapter 7, verse 7 to 13. This is try to argue, right? The Lord make us known sin, but is powerless to deliver us from sin. That's what we mentioned in the previous already. Law cannot deliver out of sin because the law has no power. The law is a standard of God. Because of the standard of God, we know sin. Okay, now we look into the next one. Two laws war against each other in flesh. Chapter 7, verse 14 to 25. Especially, verse 16. That look into Romans chapter 7, verse 16. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, I do not practice. But what I hate, I do. Verse 16. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the Lord. That is good. Verse 17. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in do it. Verse 18. I know that in me, nothing good dwell. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, I practice. So what the Paul tried to say is what? There's a dilemma. Because we have a conscience, and because we understand the teaching of God, so a lot of times we know what is good. We determine to do what is good, but we cannot do it. And we know what is bad, and we determine not to do what is bad, but we continue to do it. Why? Because inside us there are two laws. What is the two laws? One is the law of sin. Who control us. Another one is the law of conscience inside us. So, just like a very simple example, right? Everybody, we are in NYT, it looks very good, right? But when you are at home, do you get angry often? Do you get angry often? Everybody know getting angry is no good. Anger cannot accomplish God's righteousness. But you determine not to get angry, but still get angry, right? Why? There are two laws fighting. One is conscience. Angry is no good. Another is sinful nature. So sinful nature is more powerful than we get angry, right? Another one, we want to do the good, but we don't do it. What is good? Right? Every day I have to get up and read the Bible and pray is good, but we still don't do it. Why? Because we are lazy. And sometimes we spend that kind of time online surfing, watching television. Why? Because we are powerless to do whatever is good. So there are two kinds of power struggle inside us. Two laws against each other. So, verse 24, chapter 7, verse 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Right? So Paul feels very, very frustrated about himself, not about other people. Oh, why? You can make a lot of determination, but tomorrow I have to repent. Why? Yesterday I make determination, but today I cannot do it. Or I continue to do sin. So tomorrow I have to repent. That's human being. All right? Every day make new resolution. And the next day we continue the same life. And then the following day we repent and start with the repeat the same cycle, right? Is that true? Right? It should be the truth, right? Because we are all human beings. If it's not true to you, probably you already high spirituality. Then it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. You look into verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Also, I think I can win over this control of sinful nature. Why? Because Holy Spirit. Next section, we are going to go to Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit set us free. It's not you set yourself free. You cannot set yourself free. Holy Spirit set us free. Okay, that's in your tongue prayer.